Thank you, God, for your word. Make it alive to us now. Help us to apply it to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. How many people do you know that walked on water? There were actually two, Jesus and Peter. And the Bible tells us that. Two people walked on water. There's many that walked through the water, the nation of Israel, but two that actually walked on water, Jesus and Peter. Now that sounds like an impossible feat, but we know through God's word that Jesus and Peter did it. This message, this lesson today, is on faith. And we need to know that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. That's comforting to know that nothing is too hard for the Lord. But when we hear those verses, some might say, then why doesn't God work out my problems? Why doesn't God answer this desire of mine? Why the afflictions? Why the trials? Why the circumstances in my life? If nothing is impossible with God. Well, only God knows. He's working it out. We need to have faith because God is the one with the plan. We don't know what he's doing, but we know he's always answering our prayer and working our life out. You know, and life can get very difficult. You wonder, why aren't things happening? Why isn't he answering my prayer? Why this? Why that? Why this in my life? Why not that in my life? Well, nothing is impossible with God. We know he can do anything. And the reason things happen is because that's the way God wants them to happen, for our benefit. The whole idea of life is to draw close to God, know we're going to heaven, and share that good news with other people. That's what life is about. You know, when you're 16 years old, you're only 16 years old for a year. Did you notice that? And when you're 18, you're only 18 for a year. And then when you look to 21, well, then you're only 21 for a year. And that's true all throughout our life. It's very fleeting, isn't it? Boy, life passes by. And this time on earth ends. What we did for the Lord remains. That's it. We go through a lot of difficulties and trials, afflictions, but we can go through them victoriously, knowing that God has a plan, and he wants to be glorified in all the things that he takes us through, so that when we get through them, we say, God did it. He got me through. Or God blessed me with this. Or he took me through this trial. But people wonder, you know, what's going on? If nothing is impossible for God, nothing too hard for the Lord, you know, what's going on in my life? Well, God's doing something. But know this, if God wants you to walk on water to get to the other side where he wants you to be, he will enable you to do it. Isn't that a good thought? You might say, well, this is impossible what I'm going through now. If he wants you to walk on water, he'll enable you to do it. If he wants you to get to the other side. But if it's God's will to have us swallowed by a great fish to get us where he wants us to go, then that's what he'll do. He'll do it another way. But he can do anything to get us where he wants us to be. Isn't that great? Now, I like the walking on water better than the swallowing by a great fish. Because, boy, Jonah went through some hard times. Humid, hot, drowning. Ugh. But that's what we go through at times. But God got him in the place he wanted him to be. And he ended up praising God. You know, he knows those that, you know, look after themselves, they forsake their own mercies if you rebel against God. But God has a way of getting us where he wants us to be. the best we can do in life, and its blessings and difficulties and hardships, is to have the attitude of Job, where he said, naked I came in and naked I'm going out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the attitude we have to have. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we need to have that mindset that Paul had. We read about in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, that are called according to his purpose. You see, God is able to do whatever needs to be done in our life according to his will. Let's turn back to, let's turn ahead to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's read that together now, starting verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Sorry, I said it wrong. It's Christ Jesus. But isn't that awesome? He can do exceedingly abundantly, not only above what we ask, but also what we could even think. Wow. Because we don't have a problem asking, do we? We know what we want. But what if he's got something so much better that we can't even think of that working out or that happening? Wow. But he can do that. In our text today, we see Jesus walk on water. In Matthew, we see Peter also walked on water. And God is able to give us the power to walk on water if that is his way to get us where he wants us to be victoriously. You know, this story is true, so we take it to heart. Verse 45, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. Jesus has just multiplied the five loaves and two fish to feed 5,000 men, which we studied last week. 5,000 men, not including women and children. Isn't that something? He fed a lot of people. They saw this miracle. Why would they ever doubt him? But it's time to move on. And immediately, right after that, he made means he strongly urged, he told his disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side. And he sent the people away. Now, if Jesus directed them to go to the other side, to Bethsaida, you can be sure they'll get there. And we can be sure that we will get where God wants us to be. Well, how will he do it? I don't know. But you can be sure he will get us there. He would never ask us to go through anything or do anything that he doesn't enable us to do it. We'll be able to do it. Remember when Jesus said, follow me? We just follow Jesus. We just obey him. You know, once we're a born-again Christian, we're committed to following Jesus. That's what we decided to do, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. We sing that song, No Turning Back, No Turning Back. We have decided to follow Jesus, not ourselves, not our desires. They might be God's desires, but we won't know until he does it. We follow him and not others, not what we're told by anyone else. We're told to follow Jesus. And we're committed to that. But in following Jesus, we are going to go through some dangerous, scary, frightening territory at times in life. We're going to go, you know, it isn't like following Jesus and wow, it's all rosy and beautiful and we never get sick or hurt or everything, just anything we ask for, we get. And following Jesus, boy, if we were to follow Jesus in his day, where would we end up? Falling right to Calvary. And they got so scared that it tells us many disciples, they all forsook him and fled. When things got tough, they got going. They left. That's not commitment. They learned. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they had the power to do it. But when you follow Jesus, it's laying down your life for him and for others, and he gets the glory for what he enables us to do. You know, and following him, we go through some difficult times in life, but we will be okay because he'll get us to the other side. He tells us that. You know, a lot of people like to have Jesus in their life and have everything perfect here. Boy, are you going to be disappointed? When we follow Jesus, we have everything. We have everything. He'll bless us. He'll take care of us. But we've got to trust him, have faith in him. He'll get us through. We just need to obey. We're not never alone. So he sends them across. And then verse 46, when he sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. He sends them off. But what does Jesus do? He goes to the mountain to pray, to be in fellowship with the Father. Spends time with the Father. Today we have an intercessor in heaven, Jesus our Savior. Isn't that wonderful? I'm sure he was praying for those disciples. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. So they're in the middle of the sea and a wind comes up. Now in the earlier verses in this chapter, Mark 6, we saw Jesus Christ be our provider. He multiplied the bread and the fish. He takes care of his sheep. He tends his sheep. Today we'll see Jesus, our Lord, our protector. He's our provider and our protector. Isn't that good? He'll take care of us and he'll watch over us. As they say today, no worries. We've got Jesus. No worries. He saw them. Verse 48, he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. He always sees our situation in life. He saw them. He knew they were out in the middle of the sea, a storm, a wind, and they could hardly row the boat. You know, we end up toiling and straining a lot in life when we try to do it ourselves. I've been there where you're straining at rowing. And I've shared this before. Once we went on vacation up to Mammoth Lakes and it was the end of August. I thought it would still be nice weather up there, but it gets pretty cold and windy and there's ice around. And we were going to go out, we were fishing and I was going to go out into the middle of one of these little lakes. Got in a rowboat, first had a scrape some ice off of the boat and then get in the boat and got out a little way, maybe 20 feet out, and the wind picked up and it was so strong. And I'm rowing and rowing and rowing because I'm the dad, right? We're going to get out there and I'm rowing and rowing and I look back and we're 18 feet from shore rather than more than 20. It is so hard to row against the wind. You get nowhere. You just let it be. You can't do it. And that's where they were, just straining to row. You get tired and you don't make any progress. Doesn't it sound like life at times? He saw them straining at rowing. How often are we straining at rowing? Lord, I'm going to do this if it kills me. The Lord says, well, it's going to kill you until you hand it over to me. Straining at rowing. And it's difficult. It says in the about the fourth watch, it would have been 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. They would not get to the other side without his help. We have to understand that we can't do it at times. Well, we can never do it without the Lord. We need to pray, ask God to guide us, give us strength, give us his help, be our provider, our protector. And we need him to be in the boat with us, whatever situation we're in. We need Jesus in there. He's got to be with us. You know, then they're not straining at rowing. That sounds better, doesn't it? Because when he comes in the boat, it's going to be pretty easy. I can do what God wants me to do through Christ who strengthens me. I can't row that boat in life unless it's through his strength. And so verse 48, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. So he sees them straining, having a hard time in life. You're having a hard time in the water there. So he comes out and it tells us he would have passed them by. What does that mean? Hey, he would have passed them by and say, hey guys, have a good luck getting to the other side. I'm going ahead of you. He walks on water, and it says he would have passed them by. Why? They needed help. He saw them straining, but he wanted them to cry out to him. We must call on the Lord. That's our choice. We do it, or the Lord does it. You remember Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock? We must ask. That's what the Lord tells us to do. In other words, we invite him to come and help us, or else we take charge ourselves. He saw them, but he would walk right by, waiting for them to cry out to him. We must call on the Lord. We must choose to come to Jesus. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's where it is. That's where they are. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe today you've been restless and not resting. And we all can find ourselves in that place. Well, what we need to do is come to Jesus. We must invite him into our life and into this situation. Please help me, Lord. We need to come to him. We pray. We ask. We have him take it over. You know, people think, well, why do I need to ask if Jesus knows what I need? Because he tells us to ask. He wants us to invite him into the situation so that he will be glorified. So that we won't think it's us, but he will be glorified. We ask, and he wants these disciples to ask him for help. You know, it's a humbling thing to ask people for help. Isn't it a lot easier to help people than to ask for help? But when people ask for help, we can usually respond. But to ask for help yourself, oh, it's like a humbling situation. Well, we must ask. We must ask Jesus to help. And then he's glorified. He gets the glory. Because when you ask someone and they help you out, who do you thank? That person who helped you out. And the Lord says, I want you to thank me and glorify me. Ask. You know, and what it tells us in the Gospels there, ask and you shall receive, it's really a verb of please ask. Isn't that incredible that the Lord would say to us, please ask me so I can give it to you? But that's what he's saying. And we're so proud at times we don't ask. And he said, please ask. Guys, I'm right here. He's our shepherd. He cares for his sheep. And verse 49, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. They think it's a ghost. And they're fearful, and they're crying out. They cried out, Why? Because no one can walk on water. They just saw multiply food, but walking on water? No one can do that. They were troubled. They were fearful. It must be a ghost. Why did they think it was a ghost? Well, their faith was limited. Well, God can do this, but he can't do that. God can help others and give them food, but he can't help me. Isn't it easier to pray for others and have faith for others than to have faith for yourself? Gosh, when we're praying for someone, it's kind of easy to just pray for them and believe that God's going to heal them or do something, and God does. But when it comes to you, it's like, I don't know if he's going to do it. It seems when it's personal, you think it's harder for God to do. But nothing is impossible with God. And they probably thought, well, that can't be Jesus. Immediately Jesus talked with them and revealed himself, in verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. It's not a ghost, it's me, I'm out here. It's I, Jesus, I'm here with you. Be of good cheer. Now, we can be of good cheer because Jesus is with us. Don't be afraid. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Have you ever been fearful? This is a great verse, 41:10, Isaiah. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. So, verse 50 here, we see he gets into the boat. Now, the same story is in Matthew chapter 14, and it adds a little bit. So let's turn back to Matthew chapter 14 and see what happens. Matthew 14. We'll start with verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So big waves and heavy wind, like the trials in life sometime, great storms. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. I wonder if Peter really meant that. You know, something we just say something to kind of show our faith. Lord, if it's you, command me to come out and I'll walk on water. I wonder if he was shocked when in verse 29 when Jesus said, come. Okay. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. See, Jesus said, come to me. And Peter got out of that boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Who can walk on water? Anyone that the Lord wants to walk on water. It's a no-brainer. What are the chances of someone walking on water, of Peter walking on water? 100%. Because Jesus said, come and walk to me on the water. What are the chances of God answering your prayer and getting you through what you're going through and giving you victory? 100%. If you've come to the Lord and you follow what he tells you to do. You see, come to Jesus. He said, come. And Peter got down out of that boat and he walked on the water to get to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, hey, wait a minute, what am I doing here? It's very windy and there's a storm. He was afraid and began to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. So he got his, he came out of the boat, walked on water. But this is what happens to us a lot. We pray, the Lord directs us, but then all of a sudden things seem to get worse or scary, and we start looking around at the problem and the circumstances, and we start to sink. Why do you think he started to sink? Got his eyes off the Lord and onto the storm. Did you ever do that? You think you're all right, you prayed, God's working, and then all of a sudden you realized in the middle of the night, wait, this is really bad. I don't think I'm really understanding the situation right. This is really bad. And you get fearful, and you start to sink again. You see, because we get our eyes off of the Lord. And it was impossible for Peter to walk on water. He says, what am I doing? And he began to sink. He couldn't walk on water alone, only if he kept his eyes on the Lord. We can only have victory and peace and stay out of fear if we keep our eyes on the Lord. If we look at our life in the situations, it'll get scary and we'll start to sink. We look up and not around. Don't look at the storm. Look at the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. But Peter was wise. You notice in verse 30, he began to sink and he cried out saying, Lord, save me. He wasn't too proud to have failed, but then cry out again to the Lord and say, save me. And what did Jesus do? Hey, swim. You got your eyes off of me. You deserve what you get. No. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt you could do this? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Isn't that an awesome story about life right there? Peter was wise. He was sinking, but he cried out, save me, Lord. The message is don't start sinking back into depression, discouragement, self-pity, sin. There's so much depression today. Eyes on the world, eyes on yourself, eyes on the circumstances, and not eyes on the Lord. You and I can fall into depression today. It's not limited to the young or the old or the middle age or the males or females or to anything else. It's all related to keeping your eyes on the Lord or not keeping your eyes on the Lord. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Anyone can fall into depression. It's not inherited. You grab it and you take hold of it yourself and you get your eyes off the Lord. Discouragement, self-pity, sin, all these things due to your circumstances cause us to fall, to sink. But if these guys were walking with Jesus. They saw miracles. Oh, if only they go to church and read the Bible, they'll be better. If only they do this or serve the Lord, they'll be better. No. If they keep their eyes on the Lord, Jesus said, follow me. That's what we need to do. It's a personal relationship. Jesus loves each one of you in this room. He loves me. And he loves me and you so dearly that he gave his life for us. He died on the cross so we could go to heaven. And he forgave us all the wretched, sinful, rotten things we've done in life. He washed it away and said, I love you, and I will be with you, and I'm here for you, and I will get you to heaven. Don't take your eyes off of me. Follow me. The problem is, we don't do that. You see? But if we do, glory. Still have problems. Still have rainy days. Still go through things. But the key is, we go through them victoriously, and we give God the glory. Isn't that awesome? There doesn't need to be depression or discouragement. There is no remedy out there. There's no counselor out there that can help you. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't be true. He's the counselor, mighty God, all those things that it labels him as. He's the one. You know, the psalmist cried out, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" He was in depression. But the answer came in the next verse, hope in God. We hope in God. And we're victorious. We need to know that God loves us. You know, it can sound so simple when we share with people. You know, you need to come to the Lord. God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. And we just, it's kind of just rote. We kind of just state that without any passion behind it. We need to be passionate for the Lord so that people see we passionately believe these things and it can be true for them. God has gotten you and me out of a lot of difficult circumstances. We need to be passionate about sharing that with people. He can do that for you. And the only answer is God. The sad thing is people spend their whole life searching for other answers. And there aren't any. Peter's only hope for walking on water was the Lord. His only hope to not drown, get back into depression, was the Lord. See, because God can do a great work in our life, but we can sink back into that pit if we don't keep our eyes on the Lord. So many times when God does a work in our life, oh, thanks, Lord, I can handle it now. My life's in order. And we kind of get away from fellowship, Bible study, prayer. And my life's in order. It's cool. I got other things to fill my life now. And what happens? One day you're going to sink again. And then you go up and down, up and down. Don't quit. Know this. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt God, what he is able to do. Nothing is impossible with God. Stay above the water with the Lord. He's your provider, protector, your all. Don't leave church today encouraged after hearing this message, the word of the Lord. And later on, get your eyes back on the circumstances and start sinking again. Church isn't just an hour of time that you come and you get fed and you get encouraged, but then you get back out into life and sink back into it again. No, this is our life. This is our life. And we live it once we leave here. To many people, church is just church. You hear that in a lot of songs today. Hey, we're going to church. Well, they go into a building, they sing some songs, they hear something, and they get back out and they had church. What is that? There's only Christianity. There's only Jesus. Where two or more meet together, there's a church. But it's focused on worshiping the Lord, keeping your eyes on the Lord. We don't leave and then start getting depressed again. You know, what was a big joy to me is to understand that I once had religion, and then I accepted Christ in my life, and then it became a lifestyle. Isn't it wonderful when it becomes a lifestyle and Jesus is your life? And then there's hope and love and joy, and he fills your life with all these good things. Still have the rain and the trials and all, but you have someone to go to. And you know, in Matthew, he gave us the answer in verse 31, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You see, we doubt, which doubt brings, you know, lack of faith brings doubt. So back to our text, verse 51, "Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled." So Jesus gets back into the boat with them. Guess what? As soon as he got in the boat, the wind ceased. The Lord's in the situation. Ah, I can rest. I know I'm going to get to the other side because Jesus is with me. A lot of times we don't sense his presence, do we? Satan loves to make us feel alone, doesn't he? I'm lonely. No one cares about me. No one understands me. I'm different than anybody else in the world. If we were to take 100 people out there on the street and ask them, "Do you feel different than anybody else in the world?" Everyone would probably say yes. And yet we think everybody else has got it together, but not me. Well, guess what? You all don't have it together. because we're all different. You know, we all feel, get lonely at times, or you can feel alone, but you're never alone. Jesus is with us, and we have a large family of God. We have fellowship together, and we're to encourage one another in that. And Jesus is with us, and when he's in the boat, wow, we're safe. We're safe. Jesus is our good shepherd. But they couldn't grasp it all, verse 51. They were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. They couldn't grasp it. They were saying, I can't believe what just happened. What is going on here? Wow. Jesus walking on water, Peter walking on water, sinking, he's grabbed by the Lord, picked up. Wow. The wind stopped. They still didn't grasp the power of God. Verse 52, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. They saw multiply food, they saw miracles, but their heart was still hardened to the fact that nothing is impossible with God. And sometimes we can get that way where, hey, this is too hard for the Lord. I don't know that he can do this. We must have faith and not doubt and believe that God can do anything. They made it. Verse 53, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. They made it. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. Boy, Jesus gets out of the boat. There he is. Let's go. And the multitudes come. And they ran through the people ran through the whole. Can you picture this? They saw Jesus and the people ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. They start gathering up all the sick people, carrying them on beds to go see Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's passionate. To go see Jesus. Not to hear something or do something or take part in something. They were gathering up to see Jesus. To go to Jesus. They ran through the whole region. And these are what I would call friends. They went and carried those on beds, those that were sick. They went to those who needed Jesus, and they took them to Jesus. That's a true friend. A true friend isn't one that will bring you down, get you more carnal or worldly. A true friend is one that will always higher the bar, not lower the bar. Hey, come up to this point. Give it your heart, your all. And Jesus is the answer. Man, they're carrying these people on beds. And wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces. They're laying these people in the marketplaces. Hey, there's this grower's ranch market or these farmer's markets, and they're bringing these sick people on beds because that's where Jesus is, and they're laying them on the ground all around. All these people that were hurting, and they begged Jesus that they might just touch the hem of his garment. Hey, you know, just touch him, and as many as touched him were made well. Wow. Faith. These people had faith. See, Satan doesn't want us to have faith. He'd like all of us to leave here today saying, well, that was a neat story. It really helped those people there. But I got my situation in life. And no one understands me. Here's the situation I'm in. No, he understands exactly where each of us is. But we need to reach out and touch him and believe that I have this personal relationship with this friend, this Savior of mine, Jesus, and he will help me in every area of my life. And that's where we need to be. As many as touched him were made well. God, we thank you for your word today. You're a wonderful Savior. Thank you for allowing us to hear from you, Lord. We pray that we leave this place today saying that we've met with you and that you've changed our life, that you've brought us victory. Nothing is impossible with you, God. We know in all our lives there's many things that go on that are hurtful. Sometimes we don't understand. There's also the blessings and the joys and the victories. But in all of it, there you are. And you're the reason that we live. And you're our hope. You're everything, Lord. You're our life. And we thank you that you've revealed yourself to us and chosen us to be one of yours. I pray we leave here victorious, ready to live that life for you you called us to live, and ready to share it with other people. Give us opportunity, Lord. Open doors. Give us wisdom and words to share. And most of all, help us to live out our faith, to believe without doubt that nothing is impossible for you. And when you work things out, let us be quick to give you the glory so that people will know how great you are. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stay.